Are we online?
Yes.
Okay, let's get started. Will the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee please come to order? It's Thursday, February 8th, 1996, about 1:35 in Betty Fahrenkamp's room. And we're here today to hear testimony on the Senate Bill 186, an act relating to partnerships, amending Alaska Rules of Civil Procedure 20 and 24, and providing for an effective date. And for the record, Senators present are Senators Torgerson, Kelly, and Salo. And I guess we're going to hear first from Mr. Peter Dunn on teleconference from Deloitte and Touche. And also, let's check the teleconference line and see who we have online. Is Mr. Bill Ezell from Washington, D.C. online now?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I am.
And Mr. Dinn, are you online? And Mr. Schierenhorn, are you online? Schierenhorn? Okay. Let's get started. Mr. Dinn, if you want to start us off, please.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, I believe you have a copy of what I'm going to say in front of you. What I thought I would do is go through quickly an overview of the bill.
Okay, let me interrupt for a second. Sherman, you told me that the bankers and the accountants had gotten together and have worked out some type of a agreement on a committee substitute.
Yes, sir.
And then we also have from Mr. Willis Kirkpatrick, the head of the Division of Banking, our proposed amendments. Are these related to the original bill or the agreed upon changes?
The agreed upon changes are just mild tinkerings with the original bill. The bankers and accounts haven't done anything super drastic to it. Willis's are to go to the original bill as well.
Okay, it's the intention of the committee then to listen to testimony today. We're looking for a broad overview and then have staff work on developing a committee substitute based on the agreements that have been made and based on some of the recommendations that Mr. Willis will be making. So, Mr. Dinn, with that understanding, why don't you go ahead?
Okay, thank you, sir. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Peter Dinn. I'm an Alaskan CPA, having lived and worked in the state for the last 22 years. I'm the managing partner of the Alaska Practice of the Four Deloitte and Touche, and we employ approximately 50 Alaskans. I'm here today also as a member on behalf of the Alaska Society of CPAs, of which I am a board member. I appreciate the opportunity to appear before you today and speak in favor of Senate Bill 186, the proposed registered limited liability partnership law. Before I talk about the bill, I would like to thank you, Senator Kelly, and the members of your committee and your staff for your patience over the last year. We've worked closely with the Alaska bankers, especially Joe Schierenhorn and John Beard, to arrive at a consensus before today's meeting, and I believe you have the results of that before you. I'd like to point out that I'm not an attorney, so today I'm addressing legal forms of organization. I believe as a businessman that will help that the LLP will benefit small and growing businesses in Alaska and enhance our business-friendly environment. Selecting the form in which to operate is one of the most significant decisions a client starting a business or continuing an existing business will have to make with respect to their business. The choice of entity will have broad implications. It will affect how the business is conducted, the personal affairs of its owners, and even impact on the business's employees. To continue and attract and retain business to Alaska, it is important that businesses have. Alaska provides a full choice of forms in which businesses may operate. The Limited Liability Partnership, or LLP, is a new type of general partnership that is beginning to sweep the nation. 38 states and the District of Columbia have already adopted LLP legislation. 12 additional states, now including the state of Alaska, are considering LLP legislation in 1996. The LLP form is appealing to lots of partnerships, but particularly to the segment of the economy that's growing the fastest, small businesses and startup ventures. This is because it is a low startup cost, it's flexible, and relatively easy to operate. The LLP provides a flexible form of organization for small businesses to help them obtain parity with larger, better capitalized organizations, which can afford the ancillary benefits of more complicated business organizations. At the same time, the limited liability partnership retains many of the positive attributes of a general partnership. First, an LLP is simple to form. Second, it is simple to operate. Unlike general corporations, there are no required articles of incorporation, bylaws, board of directors meetings, etc. Third, it is taxed like a partnership, meaning that the tax liability flows through directly to the LLP partner. The limited liability partnership also has one of the positive attributes, more complicated business form, hard please note that all partners continue to be personally liable for their own acts and omissions and the acts and omissions of the persons over whom they have control. All partners also continue to be personally liable for all other debts and obligations of the partnership. The LLP itself remains liable for all the actions of its owners and employees, and the LLP ownership remains personally liable for their own actions and the actions of those under their control. But beyond any investment in the LLP itself, the personal assets of the owners and their families need not be sacrificed to pay judgments arising from events or actions over which they have no control. While the other forms of organizations, such as corporations, professional corporations, and limited partnerships provide far more comprehensive protection for the personal assets of a business owner and generally protect owners from any action against the entity, they also carry with them significant costs and require a level of sophistication to set up and operate. Consequently, the limited liability partnership should appeal to the types of businesses today that are operating as partnerships and that cannot afford or do not have the time to deal with statutory and regulatory requirements of qualifying and operating as these other business forms. From the Alaska's perspective, it will be a tremendous advantage to offer business the LLP form for the following reasons. The LLP is business development oriented. States at the forefront of economic development are there because they offer an expansive menu of organizational alternatives for doing business. They enable the businesses in their states to be competitive with businesses from other states and abroad by enabling them to use the business form most suitable to their business situation. Enactment of LLP legislation is consistent with public policy positions already adopted by the state. Like any business form, the partners in an LLP always remain responsible for their own actions, and the partnership remains responsible for the actions taken on its behalf by employees or partners. Adoption of a limited liability partnership law will provide a favorable business climate and will especially benefit that portion of the economy that has potential to grow the fastest, small business and startup ventures. An LLP law will enable Alaska to make available an organization form available to 4/5 of the nation and allow businesses that are resident here to better compete with out-of-state firms. For these reasons, we urge you to adopt the legislation. Thank you for allowing me to appear. On the line also is Bill Ezell with the Accountants Coalition, who worked with us diligently in drafting the bill and putting things together. He's available to answer any specific questions you may have that I can't, and or to go through changes in the bill if you so wish.
Okay, I have one question, Mr. Dinn. Back on the tax liability aspect, is it more similar to a sub-S corporation then? Is that how the tax liability works?
Yes, the tax liability falls to the partners, yes.
Okay. So that means it wouldn't be taxed as a form of a normal corporation. It wouldn't be taxed by the state of Alaska. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, the individuals in the partnership would be taxed, yes.
But
it would not be taxed as a corporation.
But if we don't have an income tax in Alaska, then you're not taxed.
Well, the individual partners in Alaska, for instance, I would be taxed, yes. But I would not be taxed because we don't have income tax.
I think we're confusing federal tax and state income tax. But you would be taxed federally as an individual. You wouldn't be taxed at all as a state of Alaska residence in lieu of a lack of an income tax, correct? Or without the income tax?
That's correct.
Any other questions?
I just one.
Senator Torgerson.
Mr. Dinn, is there a limit on how big your partnership can be in number of partners in here or dollars or assets or anything?
Mr. Chairman, right. Senator Torgerson, there is no limit that I'm aware of.
Thank you.
And the original emphasis for this legislation, didn't the original problem turn out to be because of some of these big accounting firms, these national, the Big Seven or what it is, and some people on the other side of the nation having a problem and everybody being liable for it? Is that the original thrust for this?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know that I can speak to the original thrust. I can't admit that I have an interest in that as a CPA and as a member of one of the Big Six firms.
Okay. Is it six now instead of seven?
Yes, sir.
Who fell out?
Deloitte and Touche were separate firms, and they merged.
I see. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, this is Billy Zell. I am Peter's partner in Deloitte and Touche in Washington, D.C., and for 3 years response to your question, in large measure, yes. The accounting firms and the larger accounting firms, not only the six largest, but any firm that has practiced across state lines in multiple states, have had an interest in this legislation for some few years now. In particular, while Alaska may offer other forms of organization, such as a professional corporation, or even in some states, there's the offer that a professional services firm can organize as a regular corporation. Those are not available across all state lines. And for firms that practice in multiple states, the LLP has an appeal that allows firms to organize and practice across a variety of states with a common or consistent level of protection to the personal assets of those uninvolved partners that might otherwise be subject to claim for actions arising geographically or otherwise all the way across the country from actions of one partner. In the case of our firm, we have 1,500 partners right now. And so a partner and I could do something here in Washington that would bring liability to my partners in Alaska. And because of those concerns, we have been seeking this type of legislation. As Peter indicated, now adopted in 38 states plus the District of Columbia.
Okay, thank you. Did Mr. Shearhorn call in yet?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, Mr. Shearhorn, did you want to let us know what organization you're with and present your testimony, please?
Okay. My name is Joe Shearhorn. I'm the Vice President with Northrend Bank, and I'm the current President of the Alaska Bankers Association. And the association has been working very closely with the Alaskan CPAs and most recently with Mr. Edel on a national basis on this legislation. And we've worked with them for several years now and have worked through a number of issues with them and are in support of this legislation for several of the reasons that Mr. Edel was stated at the very end. I'm sorry, I just got on the teleconference here. But basically, to the extent that this does promote business and brings business to the state and allows these types of firms to conduct business in the state, the Bankers Association is in favor of it. We've worked with them in a number of areas that we were concerned with in regards to insurance issues and regards to which states would govern have jurisdictions on actions concerning these entities, and we're comfortable with the resolutions of our issues and are in support of legislation now.
Okay. Any questions? Willis?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Miller.
I have one question. I think we have a real fiscal note here. Do we have any idea how many corporations that we now have in the state that are Chapter C corps that would take advantage of this particular piece of legislation? Because you are correct. Right now, only a C corp pays corporate income tax in Alaska. If we have C corps out there now that would take advantage of this, they would be paying a corporate income tax in the state of Alaska. They take advantage of that corporation would no longer be paying corporate income tax. And since we have no personal income tax, there would be a loss of some revenue to the state of Alaska if there is any actor that would be taking advantage of this.
Willis, could you answer that?
For the record, my name is Willis Kirkpatrick with the Department of Commerce and Economic Development. We just provided, and I'm sorry, I don't remember the numbers. We just provided the Department of Revenue the number of S corporations that we have on file. There was a quote that somebody was following, somebody I believe was the chairman, was following up on that there were 90% of the corporations were S corporations, and we couldn't hardly believe that.
Well, no, somebody made a statement last year that that they felt 90% of the corporations in Alaska were S corps. That sounded awfully high to me, so I called the Department of Commerce and asked them what percentage were S corps. And I think what they, and I don't remember the numbers precisely, but if something like 17,000 corporations, 26% of those are S corporations. That's what I was told.
And that's what I.
So I informed the person.
That.
Yeah, I informed the person that told me that 90% were S corps. It was actually more like 26%. But I think Senator Miller gives a good point. Is the state of Alaska, you know, liable to lose a lot of state revenue with C corporations shifting to a limited liability partnership, or whatever we're calling it?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, go ahead.
This is Bill Ezell again in Washington, and if I may offer one response to that very appropriate question from Senator Miller. The current liability protection afforded a C corporation extends protection to the owners of that business fully for tort claims as well as contractual obligations of the business. In other words, as a stockholder of a C corporation, the only risk to that stockholder is his or her investment in the corporation, and none of the obligations that corporation might incur would be visited upon the personal assets beyond their stock holding, which could be lost in the bankruptcy of the entity, to those owners. In a limited liability partnership, there is the shielding or protection of the personal assets of partners not involved in a tort action, but those partners remain liable jointly and severally for certain of the commercial obligations, leases, and loans of the partnership itself. So the liability protections afforded a limited liability partnership are less than the liability protections afforded a C corporation. Now, whether or not the degree of liability protection, or the lesser degree, would be offset by any economic advantage, I cannot address the tax situation in Alaska, but would say that with respect to choosing a form of organization for liability protection, one would be much preferred to be a C corporation to protect the assets of the owners far in excess of the protections of the limited liability partnership. What we have seen around the nation as well is that entities using the limited liability partnership have by and large been entities previously formed as a general partnership, and having this exposure to liability lessened somewhat for partners not involved in the acts contemplated for the protection under this bill.
Let me ask you this question. If you had, under the terms of this bill, can two C corporations form a limited liability partnership? Or does it have to be individuals?
By definition, if they're persons, which they are under Alaska statute, yes, they could.
I guess our concern is, and our worst fear would be, ARCO/BP LLP, and the tax ramifications of something of that nature.
Mr. Chairman, this was a question when we were, just a year or so ago, when we were considering limited liability companies, how many corporations would change to the lesser taxed corporations. While we have, while it's an active filing, we haven't seen a major switch to from C corporations to LLC organizations.
But every C corporation that does change, there is a loss of some revenue to the state of Alaska if they are making money.
Mr. Chairman, I can't respond to that. I just don't know.
Mr. Chairman, this is Peter Dent.
Go ahead.
I could speak just briefly to the taxes. It would seem that two corporations who formed an LLP, any revenue or income would pass from the LLP to the corporations, and they would be taxed in their corporate form. In addition, sub-S corporations also are currently provide additional liability, so a corporate form would generally go to a sub-S form as opposed to a limited liability partnership. And a general partnership may be the best or the most optimum choice. A general partner may go to a limited liability partnership, in which case there would be no change in the taxation status of the state. The individuals, again, would not be taxed. But in the case of two corporations forming, the tax would flow, the income would flow to the corporations that would be taxed at that level.
Okay. Willis,
Mr. Chairman, I unfortunately have a packet of amendments for your consideration. One of the things that we're concerned about is that in the registration of limited liability partnerships, that the registration provisions would be administered by the Department of Commerce. In that administration, we administer Title 10, which are corporations and associations, and we also have the Uniform Limited Partnership Act. One of the things that we have accomplished over the years is efficiencies through standardization. All of our corporate entities, whether they're nonprofit or domestic or foreign or co-ops or electrical, or whether they're big codes or whatever you want to call them, they're all administered under the same type of system. So what I would, what I'm asking for the committee to consider is picking up existing law of administering the registration of these business organizations that we currently have in statute and apply them to the registration provisions or the administration of filings with Senate Bill 186. I apologize that they're lengthy. I apologize that they have a tendency to appear bureaucratic. That is not our intent.
Senator Torgerson.
Have you shared these with the people on teleconference?
No, I have not.
Your amendments. So they have not seen these yet.
That's correct.
We just received these this morning, and we quickly quickly copied them off for the members of the committee.
Substantial changes.
Mr. Chairman, if I may respond to that. If these are practicing CPAs, yes, they've seen them in filing with the department, in filing with their corporate biennial reports or any other types of reports that they would file under limited liability companies, under limited partnerships, or under any other forms of Title 10.
Okay, so Mr. Din, Mr. Ezell, you have not, or Mr. Schoenhorn, you haven't seen the proposed amendments?
That's correct.
Okay, we will fax these amendments to you right after the meeting today. Willis, did you want to continue, or were you pretty much done with your testimony?
The only other thing that I have to add is that I would offer Mike Monagle, my corporation supervisor, to work with the committee any way we can, or with the people who have spoken, to try and pass this out. We are not against the legislation.
Okay. Did anybody else today want to Senator?
I'm assuming you'd have a fiscal note that's going to come along with this. It's different than what's in here to represent your changes that you're suggesting. This looks like a substantial amount of work.
I appreciate that question. We have the zero physical note on the bill now, but the zero physical note, unfortunately, was prepared on the basis that we wouldn't have to change our operation. So there would be no zero. There would be no physical impact if the amendments were adopted. There would be possibly a minor physical impact on the department if the amendments were not adopted, but it still wouldn't be significant.
If the amendments were adopted, would the filing fees that you're talking about here more than cover the costs of your administrating this?
More than cover the costs.
Would you require a new PCN position to do this?
No, I would not.
Okay. So if we adopt at least some of these amendments that you're talking about, filing and other fees, then we're talking about a positive fiscal note to the state.
Mr. Chairman, well, yes and no. If these are corporate fees that are changing over, you're losing that filing fee on that end of the spectrum. So I'm not sure if these are brand new. Nobody has known they're not C corps or anything else out there. So I'm not totally comfortable with this fiscal note, because you're going to lose some. You know, if these are C corps, they're switching over, you're going to be losing that filing fee, though that has to be factored in. And then the other thing is, we don't have a Department of Revenue fiscal note, which tells us, you know, of the ones that we know that have already filed or would be filing, what would be the change in revenue from those folks, you know, in law.
Okay, this fiscal note was prepared on the original bill, correct, Willis?
Yes.
Could we ask you to bring us another fiscal note assuming that we adopt most of, at least your filing fee, portions of your amendments and stuff like that.
Yes, sir.
And then we'll also ask staff to get a fiscal note from the Department of Revenue. And then I guess where we'll proceed here is we'll have Sherman work with Mr. Sheerenhorn and Mr. Ezell and Mr. Din and Willis and see if we can come up with a suitable substitute, committee substitute. And Mr.
We have five.
Oh, okay. So we're not. Okay, gotcha. He'll work with the interested parties and try to present a committee substitute that everybody can agree on next week. Thanks, Willis. There was somebody else who wanted to testify.
Mr. Chairman, my name is George Elgee. I'm a practicing CPA, also a member of the Alaska Society of CPAs and the American Institute of CPAs. A couple of issues that have come up with the taxation of possibly converting from a C corporation to one of these limited liability partnerships. And in Alaska, or anywhere basically, to convert from a C corporation to anything below it, subchapter S or partnership, you've got what they call built-in gains tax, and it is very hefty. So basically what you're doing is you would have to dissolve your corporation and sell. It's just as if you were selling your assets at fair market value, you would have to pay tax on those assets, and no one's going to do it, basically, and especially not large corporations. They just, I mean, it would just be cost prohibitive. Other reasons that you would want it to remain a C corporation versus a partnership is that there are a lot of tax deductions available for C corporations right now. Medical benefits are a tax deduction at a corporate level, and they are not a deduction at a partnership level. So that's probably one of the most significant items. But so generally, there really isn't going to be a lot of people that are going to switch and walk down the ladder. If you were going to go from a C corporation, you would probably go to an S corporation. And yet, that is the same thing. S corporations are treated very similar to partnerships. Those same deductions are allowed at a C corporation, are not allowed at an S corporation. S corporation is taxed almost identical to a partnership. So, that's why there are not that many people switching from C corporations down to even S corporations. And then to go one step further to a limited liability partnership would probably I wouldn't see people doing that at all.
S corps also have a limit on the number of shareholders you can have, and it's something like 7 or
35.
35?
There's a proposed amendment from the just Congress right now to raise it to about 70.
Well, Chairman,
Senator Miller.
I know that the ICTE, actually probably the biggest group using this will be accountants, doctors, lawyers, professional corporations. I know that they're taxed at a little higher rate. They're taxed as a professional service corporation, which is about 35%.
It's federal level,
or 39%. I know this because I just got done working on my C corporation. Does the state of Alaska do they have a higher rate, or do they still have the same as all the other C corps for those, or do they have a professional corporation rate?
No, it's the same as all the other.
It's the same as it's just the federal government that has the.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. The one thing I would think that you're not going to see many people within the state of Alaska jumping on this. And the reason is because those corporations, the professional corporations, have the ability to be S corporations right now. I think the emphasis in this statute, what I see, is it does give these people that are foreign corporations or foreign partnerships the ability to conduct business in Alaska and still, be registered in, New York or wherever they happen to be. That seems to be the big problem. In Alaska, there's a lot of forms of business. Limited liability companies, which just came online this year, is probably one form that people are going to look at. But doctors and attorneys and accountants, they can operate as subchapter S corporations right now. And each one of them, and I have lots of different clients, and they all, for one reason or another, some of them will be sub-S, some will be C-Corps, and some will be partnerships. So I'm a partnership right now with four other partners and with a 16-person firm. And we would not opt to do this limited liability partnership, I don't believe. I mean, it would be the one clause in here that kind of makes it hard for us is the $1 million liability insurance, because right now we carry about $500,000 in liability insurance. And to go to $1 million is a significant step, especially when the state and most cities and boroughs only require us to carry $500,000 with a personal liability.
Before I forget, Willis, could you get the committee that information on S-Corps in Alaska? The percentage and, you know, kind of the breakout so we could take a look at it. And I guess the difference between the number of nonprofits and then the number of C-Corps and number of S-Corps and stuff like that. Mike, are you?
I'm fine.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anything else? Mr. Elgee, anything else? Okay. We'll have staff work between the interested parties and see if we can come up with a bill that we can move along next week. The Labor Conference Committee adjourned.